Welcome to the New York Times Popcast, the tomato in your musical critical salad. I'm Ben Ratliff, your host.
Man, you're selling us short.
Maybe your jacket is a hand-me-down. Maybe you slept with half of your hometown. In a world of squares, maybe you're just round. You can't be everybody's cup of tea. Some like the bitter, some the sweet.
You're listening to Kacey Musgraves' Cup of Tea. John Caramonica, triangulate us. Mm. Keith Hill, Kacey Musgraves, and us here right now in the studio.
I'm hoping that they're in like some elaborate email conversation, Keith Hill and Kacey Musgraves, right now.
Who is Keith Hill?
You believe in data, Ben Ratliff?
I believe in big data.
The biggest?
I believe in the biggest data.
Keith Hill's got data for you.
Really?
Oh, does he? Let's talk about Keith Hill.
Yeah.
Keith Hill is a country radio consultant. Not necessarily a guy who's in-house at a station, but a guy who is spending his professional time thinking about what works on country radio.
Sure. I've met those types. I've called them for comments.
There you go. Oh, and he's commenting.
Mm-hmm.
So Keith Hill spoke to a publication called Country Air Check.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Country Air Check is a trade publication. It's geared towards radio executives, programmers, folks like that. I look at it sometimes because sometimes it's an interesting first line of defense for emerging artists. You see it pop up sort of at the bottom of the Country Air Check chart. You see a song pop up and you think, oh, maybe that'll go somewhere.
Sure.
Because it's now at 46 and maybe it'll end up at 21. So there was an interview with Keith Hill. This is at the end of May. And he's talking about ways to improve, listener stickiness on mm-hmm. country radio.
Because all these people would like to feel that they have the answer.
The answer.
And then other people will keep calling them for comments. And
one of the funny things that Keith Hill did later is gave his email address out, which is great because, like, I can't wait to call him or email him for comment for mm-hmm. some later thing. He does this thing, and it's broken out into sort of like three things country programmers should know or something along those lines.
Sure.
And the last one, like, very sort of like pitched very innocuously in the layout of the thing. But if you want to hold on to your listeners, which is to say you don't want them to turn the dial in a minute-to-minute kind of way, don't play a lot of women.
Yeah.
Take women out of your format. And then the kick is we have a salad. You know what the lettuce is? It's Luke Bryan. It's Jason Aldean. It's Keith Urban. To be fair, I often do think of Keith Urban as lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
So in that part, I think he was definitely on. And then he says, you know, the women are the tomatoes in our salad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's the last thing in the piece, or it's right before the end of the thing. There's no kind of like critical assessment of it. There's no hard numbers. The implications that there's some kind of hard numbers behind it, but it's not sort of given in a hard data way. And it was just sort of floats out into the ether.
Well, it's amazing that it wasn't a sports or a driving metaphor. But after he said that,
I'm pretty sure Keith Hill's vegan.
Ah,
no, that's not true.
What was the response?
It was ugly.
Was it immediate?
Oh, it was within a couple of days. Now, because of the publication that it came in,
yeah, I mean,
it didn't immediately.
Right.
No, I mean, it's available. If you guys want to get involved with Country Air Check, there's a PDF of each issue that's available on the website every week.
It's probably not a web-only magazine.
I think maybe at some point, I don't get a print copy of Country Air Check, although I would like one if anybody wants to send one to me. Please holler.
It's the kind of thing that you see sitting around in the lounges of recording studios.
Yeah, or the lounges of, like, WPAQ, Louisville,
sure.
Number one country station.
Sure.
So it was ugly, and it got ugly really fast. Martina McBride, super angry, made t-shirts that said tomato. Other t-shirts that say tomato lover. Her and her husband posed in them side by side, real grinny.
Mm-hmm.
Miranda Lambert's wearing a tomato t-shirt, looking real angry.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, most of the female country singers of note weighed in some way. And everybody was very upset, and I think rightly so. Not just because it was a very sort of callous, offhand way to dismiss many incredibly important artists, but also just what a way to be belittled by some guy who's sitting there with a pile of data. His actually implication is that most of the people who listen to country radio, the sweet spot demographic are women, I think maybe 18 to 34
mm-hmm.
or women 18 to 44, something along those lines. And his contention is that they don't want to hear women.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hear men. Maybe in a country radio context, that's technically true. It's who knows. He clearly has piles of data, but as I point out in this piece that I wrote, if you're looking at data as some kind of pure representation of behavior, that you're failing to understand what data actually represents. And what data represents is a crude history. This is years and years of structural sexism built into country sure. radio playlists. So if you run out with a number that says, hey, 15% female singers
yeah.
is the sweet spot, what are you proving? You're only proving that you've screwed up
you're
for
decades.
You're
just upholding a bad system.
Right. The title I actually wanted for this piece, which I see now that I see the print edition I do not have, is You Say Tomato, I Say Entrenched Sexism.
Oh,
hey!
It doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Oh, that's, come on, but it fits right across the top. It's a five-column head right there.
So Kacey Musgraves has a new record coming out next week. To what extent does that answer the question?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I've been thinking a lot about Kacey way before the tomato comment. And the tomato comments sort of arrived at a fortuitous time. But mm-hmm. but I'd spend a lot of time thinking about Kacey, not just after her first album, but really as she's sort of preparing, you know, she won Grammy, she won a CMA award, she won sure. an ACM. There's theoretically a much greater burden on her this time around to either innovate or shift, or at minimum the spotlight's going to be much sharper on her. And then I listened to this album and I was really frustrated with it. I would almost say it felt like a step backwards, possibly. At minimum, it's sort of jogging in place. It's a still bicycle at minimum. And Kacey is someone who I think it's important to underscore is not the agitator, not really a pushback specialist.
Yeah.
Even though that's sort of the that's kind of the bill that she got after her first album. As you know, the first album, which is called Same Trailer, Different Park, in between the sort of like peons to rural life and the she's very versed in classic country, sort of like 50s to the 70s. That's her wheelhouse. She's not really making modern sounding country music. You know, Follow Your Arrow, which is her big song, has a line about same-sex attraction. It has a line about smoking weed.
A lot of people will know that song from having seen her do it on the Grammys.
Yes.
2 years ago?
No, it was 1 year ago.
Yeah.
We're critics. We see this happen a lot. She became a country singer who people who like don't like country music really gravitated mm-hmm. to. And they gravitated to her because she's like a young, cool woman singing about progressive issues, theoretically. Mm-hmm. What's funny is in interviews, she often is like, I'm not that progressive. Like, it's more that country is totally not progressive. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm basically doing what everybody else is doing, mm-hmm. which is, of course, true. To me, that underscores this thing that she's not carrying the agitator, the provocateur banner. It's being placed upon her. Mm-hmm. So therefore, when I listened to this album and was frustrated by it, I realized the modesty of it was a choice.
Mm-hmm.
This was not going to go five notches past where she was before. What she, I think, is saying on this album, which is called Pageant Material, wink, wink, mm-hmm. what she's saying is this literally is my lane. I don't want to be in that box, but this is my box.
Is it the lane of veiled discourse? In the past, being a feminist at a time when it was hard to be publicly a feminist mm-hmm. in country music,
yes.
let's say. So is it picking up on that tradition of, you know, sort of veiled statement?
Yes. Although what I would say is it's thin veil and thin discourse.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the most frustrating thing because the records you're talking about or the eras you're talking about, you think about double entendres and like winky turns of phrase.
Which
and
country music songwriters traditionally are brilliant at.
You know, even in conservative contexts.
Yeah.
The stuff that was going on in the 70s, for example, is like far rowdier and far more direct than anything that's happening in a Kacey Musgraves song.
Sure. Some of it, the extreme examples.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. Mm-hmm. But we're in a period where Kacey Musgraves is perceived by many
as
the extreme example.
Yeah.
And that's why this album started to wear on me after a while. I found it limiting, almost perversely conservative. She has a very, I would say, narrow idea of her aesthetic position as far as music. She's not making modern country music, but she's deliberately placing herself in a context where you're expecting conservative ideas because of the nature of the sound.
Mm-hmm.
So if she has a little tweak or a little flip or a little extra, that's like the aha moment. But it's only an aha moment in the context of that sound.
Sure.
It's not an actual aha moment. Because of that, it was hard to sort of, or rather it was easy to sort of like fall out of affection with this record, I think.
Yeah.
And it's too bad because Kacey Musgraves, along with her team, you know, we're talking Shane McAnally, we're talking, I'm pretty sure, Luke Laird, you know, these are expert A-plus songwriters. These guys are killers. They really know how to structure something. They're extremely adept. And there's something about this particular union that feels a little cutesy. It's not doing any heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
They might contend it's not meant to do heavy lifting. And the fact that we're even asking it to do heavy lifting is sort of like a form of soft sexism.
Sure.
It's certainly possible. But the fact remains, I do think the public perception of it is that it's doing heavy lifting. And I think it's important to underscore that it's probably not.
So relative to what? Lay out some of the rest of the landscape.
It's an interesting time for women in country music. Last year, if you remember, there was this song called Girl in a Country Song mm-hmm. by Maddie and Tay.
Played in a past podcast.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Maddie and Tay, young country duo, basically unknown, signed to... not directly to Big Machine, Taylor's label, but to one of the subsidiaries or affiliates. And what that song was a complete send-up of how women are portrayed in contemporary male-focused country music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in the age of the country bro, of the dude, backwards baseball caps, dude in a pickup truck playing, you know, mm-hmm. George Jones and Ludacris, which is also what I play in my car,
mm-hmm.
Just not Ludacris. Mm. That became... a very recognizable archetype. And certainly in like 2013, 2014, I would say most of the male singers who were popular and certainly the young generation of male singers who were popular fell somewhere in that spectrum. It's ripe for parody. It's ripe for a backlash. Maddie and Tay achieved that.
So why don't we hear the song by Maddie and Tay, Girl in a Country Song.
'Cause I got a name and to you it ain't.
So this is a bad time because if indeed 85% of country radio songs are sung by men, probably 85% of those are of that nature, or at least in the current era, are of that nature. That said, when I look at the variety of songs and the variety of talents of female country singers in 2015, I find it far more exciting and far more promising than what's going on with men. You know, you look at someone like Miranda Lambert. Now, Miranda Lambert may have smoothed out her rough edges a little bit. Miranda Lambert is still like incredibly reliable, strong songwriter, excellent singer, provocative songwriting most of the time. Mm-hmm. I think the most recent album is a much more interesting musical exercise than thematic exercise, but broadly speaking, she's really on it. Carrie Underwood, who you can almost contend is the most benign of all of the female country singers of the day, she has a big voice, she sings a lot of ballads, but I feel like once or twice a year she comes out with a song that's extremely anti-man, like almost like high misandry in a weird mm-hmm. way. I'm not sure that's sort of what her public image is, but certainly she sprinkles that on every album.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at Maddie and Tay, you look at Kelsey Ballerini, who's a young singer who's sort of very much a post-Taylor Swift type of singer, although sticking firmly in country. Janet Kramer, Mickey Guyton, Ashley Monroe and Angelina Presley, who are part of Pistol Annie's with Miranda Lambert. Each of these women is bringing something into a conversation that feels distinct from one another. Whereas if we were to list 10 new male country singers, I'm not sure you could tell. If I showed you the song or the lyric, I'm not sure you could tell me who sung it. So when I see that, and I think most of these women are, by and large, making good records, the average quality seems much higher. And so when I hear that, and then you see Keith Hill and his Tomatoes, you sort of think, well, okay, something's wrong here.
Why don't we hear one of these other artists?
Let's talk about Kelsey. I think the cloud over this conversation that we're not acknowledging is Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift does cast a shadow over country, even though she is no longer technically speaking a part of country music. But Kelsey Ballerini feels like the first true post-Taylor Nashville mm-hmm. ascendant star. Let's hear Stilettos and then talk about her.
Like love it is wrong. Hats off the top, like I'm a tough girl. They say we're all
So that was Stilettos by Kelsey Ballerini. And John, where does Kelsey Ballerini fit? Where's her place on the spectrum?
First of all, Kelsey is just breaking through now. Like, her first album, I think it's called The First Time, it just came out maybe a couple weeks ago. And Love Me Like You Mean It, which is her sort of big single, which we didn't listen to, is still sort of on the rise. Love Me Like You Mean It's like a pretty genteel sort of like girl chasing boy song. I wouldn't say not that progressive, but just it's fairly level. It's well done. It's fairly level, though. As I was saying before we heard the song, you have to think about Taylor Swift in the context of this conversation. Basically, from, 2005 to 2013, Taylor Swift is in this sort of infiltration war with country music. She's opening the genre to young girls. She's resented by gatekeepers. She had trouble getting on radio until there was basically no choice but to play her on radio. And now she's officially sort of graduated out of the genre. You know, 1989, which came out last year, is her big pop arrival album.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift is proof of concept. Taylor Swift is a demonstration that country aimed at a particular demographic that had been underserved could be successful. With her leaving, that demographic doesn't necessarily leave with her. Kelsey Ballerini certainly arrives and is able to take advantage of some of the absence of Taylor Swift.
I
remember I wrote a piece probably 3 years ago about Nashville trying to find a new Taylor Swift, like basically a young blonde teenage singer, and everyone in that piece has failed.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I guess I failed too, in a sense.
It's interesting that you put it like that, because correct me if you think I'm wrong, but it seems to me that country music, more than a lot of other different kinds of music, is based on roles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about expectations, mm-hmm. comfort, readiness,
yep.
playing a role.
Mm-hmm.
When you mentioned that Carrie Underwood is representing a kind of excitingly almost anti-male perspective, mm-hmm. even though she's the one who you might least expect that from.
Right.
It seems like she's doing a great and necessary thing. I mean, you know, it seems like it's so easy to fulfill roles in country music, even if that role is the rebel.
Yes.
And maybe, given the way country music operates, the deeper you sink into that role, the more cliched it becomes and the more difficulty you may have in creating something that really changes the way people are understanding country music.
I also think I think that's right. But I also think, in addition to that, Nashville is a factory town, unlike almost any other town or any other genre location. I mean, the songwriting rooms, the sort of the I'm going to cut something on Craig Campbell today, you know, like that doesn't necessarily happen in other genres.
Mm-hmm.
I think for someone like Carrie Underwood, if she wanted to go the full Miranda, it may actually be difficult to find the songwriters, the label support, the da-da-da.
Right.
Once you've kind of like clicked into your groove, it may be very, very difficult to lose that. Casey's an interesting example. Casey actually reminds me a lot of, in terms of the circles, Casey reminds me of like Drake or The Weeknd. Like, basically just works with the same people. Like, Casey didn't have a Grammy-winning album and then is like, I'm going to go work with, I was going to say Hillary Lindsey, but I have a weird feeling Hillary Lindsey, I don't think she's on that album. I think she's on the Kelsey Ballerini album. You know, I'm going to work with this big songwriter. I'm going to work with Nathan Chapman, a producer. You know, like, that's not necessarily... Oh, man, if Nathan Chapman's on this album, I feel like such an idiot. You know, she stuck with her team. Maybe that's a repudiation of the Nashville system, or maybe it's just a sort of reinforcement of what would have happened anyway.
Right.
That she found her groove and she clicked into it.
Yeah.
Taylor did a lot to expand sort of the contemporary thematic range of country music and also, like I said, opened a lot of ears to the genre. Kelsey, I feel, is showing up in that wake. She's literally the small boat riding in the wake of the big boat.
Sure.
And Kelsey is interesting. She is a writer or co-writer on all the songs on the record. Some of the songs are very obvious, and some of them, Stilettos being one of them, I think are sharp and have an interesting approach. There's a song called Secondhand Smoke, which is written about her parents' divorce, which I think is really beautiful and very stark and very unexpected, especially on an album that's not preoccupied with sort of family life. So to hear her, and with a very sweet, almost like a saccharine, slightly country voice, but not an overwhelmingly country voice, and to see that songs by her are beginning to do well, to me that's promising, and in some ways more promising than what Casey is doing. Because
mm-hmm.
Casey sort of seems to be, she's denying, not denying herself, but she's just staying. You know, she's staying firmly underground. You know, she's like a backpack rapper on her fifth backpack rap album.
I'm feeling your frustration. I feel that you have a level in your mind that you want country stars to rise to.
All stars.
Okay. But, you know, all these different kinds of music operate in different sort of intellectual universes,
I understand.
Let's
say.
And they have different possibilities, different ways of manufacturing identity, persona, all that stuff. So you say in your article that the overall state of affairs for women in country remains horrid.
Mm-hmm.
Who out there is closest to your idea of how things could be?
Who's currently making music.
Uh-huh.
There are people I like for different reasons. So let me just sort of run down a few. Did you listen to the Reba McEntire album that just came out a couple months ago?
No.
A Reba McEntire album is Flames, just FYI. I didn't get to it in this piece because I had sort of touched on it in a previous piece and I kind of felt like I can let it be. Reba is someone who was making challenging records, you know, 25, 30 years ago.
Sure.
And has been a steady presence and a steady disruptive presence, I think, for much of her career, probably more the first 15 years than the last 15 years. The Reba McEntire album is full of kind of like salacious, slightly bawdy, anti-man,
yeah,
pro-woman breakup songs. She still has fire and scratch in her voice. And when I listen to a Reba album, I think, here's a person who I don't think there's like an A&R guy being like, ah. I mean, maybe there is. There probably is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's Reba. She's been doing this for a long time. Her character is well established and she's sticking with it. So I really like what Reba is doing. Ashley Monroe has a new album, which I don't like. It's not out yet. It's not coming out till July. I don't like it as much as her previous album. But Ashley Monroe is someone who I think is like the soft counterpart to Miranda in Pistol Annie's. As a songwriter, I think is very sharp, unusual angles on subject matter. This album feels like maybe a little bit more of a, the last album I thought was excellent, but no one really cared. This feels like maybe more of a ploy of like, please care about me, mm-hmm. which is not, I don't think that's the lane for her. I think she should stick to what she's doing and then people will come to her because I think she's really was really on something with the last album.
Mm-hmm.
There are also people who are making songs that I think seem very conventional. You know, Kelsey Ballerini is some conventional, some not conventional. Mickey Guyton is a young singer who her two big songs, one big song, one mildly big song, feel like kind of like late 90s Sarah Evans records to
mm-hmm.
me. I liked Sarah Evans at the time. I don't think you would ever say Sarah Evans was the most radical of country singers of that era.
She's a classicist.
Yeah. Mickey Guyton, I think, is very much in that lane. And something about doing that, she has a real country voice. Something about doing that in 2015 feels like a pushback.
Mm-hmm.
She has a song called Better Than You Left Me and a song called Why Baby Why, both of which super, super well constructed. She sings really well. And if you find, you can find like acoustic versions online, like on YouTube that she's done, where you really hear the voice. You don't totally hear it in the finished recorded product, but when you hear her just sing it, you're like, oh, some, a real country singer here.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's worth noting she's black. There's no black country singer. You know, Darius Rucker and Charlie Pride and mm-hmm. whatever, but there's not a lot of black country singers, certainly not a lot of black women.
Yeah.
Those are people who I find interesting in the current moment. I don't know what it's like to program country radio in like Tulsa or like Cheyenne, Wyoming or something. Like, I don't know what the strictures of that job are. I don't know what it's like to have to keep listeners around so that advertisers will pay whatever their per 30-second slot costs are. But it seems shocking to me that a format that included more of this would somehow lose advertising or mm-hmm. lose listeners. That seems crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a manufactured controversy about Girl Crush, which is a Little Big Town song. Are mm-hmm. you're up on the song?
Mm-hmm.
Little Big Town is a group that historically I've not had much time for. It's a little bit too light for my tastes. But on their last album, I thought they really, really just took a huge step forward. One of the reasons I felt that was because of this song called Girl Crush. Girl Crush is written from the perspective of a woman who has a crush on another woman, but the reason she has a quote-unquote crush on the other woman is because that woman has taken her man, or mm-hmm. that's who her former man is in love with. So it's pitched as a love song, but it's really about envy, and it's about jealousy, and it's about self-loathing, and, you know, it's beautifully written, mm-hmm. so, so smart.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a weird backlash because some audiences felt that it promoted same-sex attraction, mm-hmm. and they didn't want to hear that on their country radio station.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that would have happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's strange that we're still talking about it in 2015.
Yeah.
And of course, that's what Kacey Musgraves is fundamentally acting out against.
Up against.
In so much as she's acting out.
Mm-hmm.
I think what she's trying to say is, I'm on the far side of these debates. I don't want to be in this debate. I want to be past this debate.
Sure.
But because of the genre that she makes music in and because of the nature of that music that she makes, she's sort of inextricably stuck in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably too bad for her. She'd probably do much better outside of it. And I think I read an interview with her sometime in this album cycle where she's basically like, I want to make a big change musically for the next record. Like, mm-hmm. I want to write a concept. I want to do a surf rock record or a reggae record.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't do a reggae record.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just for the record, definitely do not do a reggae record.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand why someone like her would feel like country as it's written in 2015 doesn't have loads to offer her. That said, if your man Keith Hill would throw some more Kacey Musgraves in rotation and some more female singers in rotation, maybe it would seem more hospitable to her and to others.
So outside of singers, in the institution of country music, what can be done to change the situation?
If a singer wanted to come to Nashville with her own songs and really cut through the noise and then get signed and then get on a major, trying to a major, and then get pushed on radio and then breaking through, the amount of institutions that she would have to get through are numerous.
Right.
And pretty hostile, best I can tell.
Keith Hill being one of them.
Yo, Keith Hill is not checking for you right now. To his credit, he's done a lot of follow-up press.
Mm-hmm.
He sort of stuck to his guns. Terrible guns, but, you know, he didn't shy away from them, I guess. You know, Keith Hill's like, I play Kacey Musgraves, right? You know, like, I advocate for them. I play these songs. But at 15% of total, which just seems lunacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no shots on, like, Kanan Smith or Kip Moore. But, like, I'd happily trade a Kanan Smith song for, like, one more Mickey Guyton song, you know? So there are institutions that can do work towards this end.
Do we know yet about other radio analysts who are saying, look, Keith Hill, there is another way of looking at it in which your data is wrong?
Unfortunately, radio programmers are not the most feelings-driven bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And in the follow-up country air checks, there were a lot of radio programmers, male and female, who were all like, well, the data is the data.
Do you know what? This has to be sent to the Upshot.
That's right. Upshot Podcast Collab.
Yeah. We have to reanalyze the data.
We're going to get in the numbers. 2015 summer,
mm-hmm.
Popcast Upshot collaboration, mm-hmm. in effect. So the question becomes, if the singers are out there, which I think in this piece I contend that there's a generation of singers that are available to be promoted. You know, you want to like dispel the notion that they're not out there. So the singers are there. What's next? The institutions. So most of the people that I write about are on majors or within the major system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kelsey's on Black River, which is a sort of big independent label, but she's basically de facto. I mean, she has a top 10 single. So as far as I'm concerned, she's living in a major universe. And I'm, you know, we're not talking about Rounder Records and Vanguard and Sugar Hill. You know, we're not talking alt country, America, like any of that other stuff.
Sure.
We're talking down the center country. So labels theoretically are on board because they've signed these people. So what's missing? Missing is radio, video, things like that. CMT has a tour, the Women of Country tour,
mm-hmm.
which just recently completed. Did not come to New York, unfortunately.
Mm.
Kelsey Ballerini, Janet Kramer were on that tour. I think Cam was also on that tour in a couple of dates. And then you look at radio. An interesting guy in contemporary country radio is this guy called Bobby Bones. Bobby Bones does morning. He's sort of not quite a shock jock. He's a rowdy presence,
mm-hmm.
in country radio. He's, you know, syndicated on a bunch of stations. And Bobby Bones is a guy who has a lot of power. A lot of people listening to him. He's able to break songs. I think a song he recently broke was the Chris Jansen, the boat song. I forget the name of the song, but the Chris Jansen boat song, which basically was a non-record. And then he played in. All of a sudden, Chris Jansen got a deal and
mm-hmm.
like
yeah.
played on the CMT Awards. So Bones has some clout. A thing that he did recently was he did an I Love Women in Country Week. And every day, a different female singer or two female singers came in, did an acoustic session, you know, quick interview, things of that nature. And he did something for the singer Cam.
Mm-hmm.
Cam is on Ariston, Nashville, and had an EP from a couple months ago and had this single called My Mistake. My Mistake is a kind of up-tempo, slightly rowdy number about one-night stands, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun record. I don't 100% love it, but it's certainly like it's refreshing when you hear it and you think, oh, if that's going to be a successful country song, then great. Maybe we're not in such dire straits after mm-hmm. all. Except that wasn't a successful country song. It sort of petered out after a while. And so Bobby Bones had her on the show and she performed a song called Burning House, which is another song on her album, mm-hmm. On her EP rather. I would actually say a much more conservative song. Mm-hmm. I wrote in the piece. It reminds me a lot of Whiskey Lullaby, which is a big mm-hmm. Brad Paisley, Alison Krauss hit from 2003.
Sure.
Sturdy, a little dry, some emotional heft, but a little dark. And so that happened. And all of a sudden, Burning House takes off, you know, sells 8,000 downloads, 10,000 downloads, something like that, like right off the rip. And the label switched attention. Immediately drops My Mistake, which was already basically stalled, but basically mm-hmm. like that's not the single. Burning House is the single, mm-hmm. and we're basically getting behind Cam again. Mm-hmm. You know, and I got an email about like, and you know, there's like news stories about it and press, like it becomes a thing. And you think, well, great, Bobby Bones just did this amazing thing, and like how exciting that like he was able to take this I Love Women in Country Week and not just display what female singers are doing, but also give a meaningful boost to one or more female singers.
But you're suggesting that the boost ended up being for the wrong song.
Yes. Now, this is the twist, and this is what's frustrating to me. Look, who knows what Cam is about? She's a young singer. It's tough to say what her sort of like firm idea is. But if Burning House is the song that's going to define her moving forward, that's a much, much narrower box. Mm-hmm. Whereas to me, My Mistake, even with its flaws, it's a much more clever song. It's much more enjoyable and it's much more provocative. If Bobby Bones had maybe gotten behind that in some way and that had taken off, then I'd say, well, these institutions are not just doing good in sort of a vague sense, but they're doing good in a genuinely progressive, forwardly mm-hmm. weighing sense. Mm-hmm. But as it happens, it's Burning House. But because we at Popcast are independent-minded and because we want to support the music that we care about, I think we should close with My Mistake.
Oh.
Hey.
That is a direct challenge to Mr. Bones.
We're here for it.
It's like a photographic negative of that salad.
Wow. Do you like tomato salad?
I love it, in fact.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, then you're the right guy for this show.
Okay. So we will close with My Mistake by Cam. John Caramonic, it's been a pleasure.
It has.
But he's my mistake to make all night. This bar is full of locals, tourist drunks, and we're all hopeful, praying that tonight will be better than the rest.
That's our show. Thank you very much for listening. Our producer this week is Jocelyn Gonzalez, solo. Read John Caramonica's report on women in country music, Casey Musgraves, Kelsey Ballerini, Maddie and Tay, Cam et al., and also listen to our Spotify playlist at nytimes.com/music. We'll see you next week. He'll be gone before the morning light, but he's my mistake to make all